podcasts. Oh, you can look for exits, but there aren't any. Consider this your podcast of no return. So you might as well sit back and relax while you listen to tales of the odd, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy. But beware, you never know what's around each and every corner. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hello there, creepies. Welcome to episode 38. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Sean, Nate, what's going on, gentlemen?
It is going okay-ish.
Ish?
Yeah. I have to throw ish in there every once in a while.
Yeah.
Living-ish.
Living-ish.
Living the dream-ish.
At least we're here-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's good. It really is.
Yeah. At least it's not, it's kind of damp, but it's not as cold as it was yesterday and the day before.
I think a little more tolerable. I think the weather is having some effects on us. It's already dark.
Mm-hmm.
Like not too long ago, it was light at this time. And
yeah, that's true.
So we're all just
it probably
ready for nap time.
Still would be if it wasn't daylight savings.
Yeah, let's blame Ben Franklin for that one.
Amy stopped on the way home, and one of the McDonald's in the area where she works, they're doing a fundraiser. So percentage of whatever people buy for a certain amount of time goes to the school or whatever. So she's like, hey, it's McDonald's. I can pick something up. We're like, oh, yeah. I mean, we kind of have McDonald's every once in a while. Got to be in the mood for it. I said, sure. So she gets home, and traffic was moving slow, and it was busy because it's dinner time. So she got home, I don't know, 5:15. So by the time we unpacked everything, everybody gets in the kitchen. I look, and I'm like, it's pitch black. It was 5:30. I go, it seems like it's 9
it's
o'clock.
It's crazy, isn't it? Yeah.
Like, it should be literally 9 o'clock. But it's
then you talk to the weirdos, and they're like, well, it's great. It gives you more daylight. And it's like, no, it doesn't. It doesn't matter what the clock says. It's going to be 12 hours of light. It's going to be 12 hours of light.
It doesn't ever bother me. I never have to adjust. I've never griped about it. It doesn't bother me. The only thing is just it is weird that it is 5:30 at dinner time. And it looks like
it's dark. Yeah,
guys, we ready for bed? No,
it's kind of nice in the morning to have it light, but I know that's not going to last forever either. So
yeah, I mean, I'd rather have it light. When you can do stuff like when you get home,
you're lucky. I drive into work in the dark, and I end up driving home in the dark.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it is weird. Yeah, but I go, it's 5:30, and it looks like not because I thought, gosh, am I late to meet you guys? So,
well, you are.
You're always late.
You're always on time. You
see
arrive,
what I put up with creepies.
You arrive exactly when you mean to.
Darn right.
Precisely.
Precisely.
Precisely. Well, creepies, we are glad that you're joining us in our nonsense, right? Each week, they always put up with us, so.
That is, we should, that's a shout out to all the creepies out there, right?
Oh, yeah.
They're putting up with a lot.
Exactly.
That's not my noise.
What is that?
I don't know.
Who's making noise?
I don't know. It's the we already figured out that there's some kind of a ghost noise, and so it's coming through again.
Yeah, we got that settled, we think, and then
it's that darn Tulpa stuff we did not too long ago.
Right.
I'm telling you, it's coming back to bite us in the you-know-what.
Yeah, well, at least if it stays at Nate's house, then we're good.
Exactly. Well, that's what I figured.
I don't care.
You don't care.
There'll be no sleeping here.
I'd say Sam would protect you, but I think you said that.
Nah, he doesn't care either.
He doesn't care.
He's good to sleep.
So I'm glad everybody is doing well in this room and hopefully across the country and other countries that are listening. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Sean for
all
some
around the
pre-topic
world.
Announcements.
Yeah, there's songs for that. You know that.
Oh, man.
I would like to make sure that we mention our merch. We have merch of all kinds. Anything that you want our logo on, you can get.
It's coming up. Christmas.
Is it? Oh my gosh, I forgot all about that. I didn't even think of that.
It is coming up. Yeah.
Christmas is coming
up. I'm only reminded every second.
I forget about the holidays.
Our
kids. Yeah, you could always. The holidays are a good time to get some of these things.
Some nice stocking stuffers.
There's always a new holiday around that corner, so we appreciate it too. It's always nice. It's nice for people. You know, we support each other in all kind of ways, but to support this podcast with showing that you love us is wonderful.
Yeah. And we know they do anyway.
Of course, yeah. We want to always mention. We know we kind of beat this a lot, but it's a good thing. We want you to rate and review our podcast. It really does help. It helps us to continue to be able to do this and to boost our podcast up. We, you know, we're going to do this one way or the other, but we really do want people to actually enjoy it and have fun with it. Mm-hmm. And one way we get it out there, also word of mouth. We keep saying that. That's also very important. Yep. If you think somebody, a friend or family member, spouse, loved one, whatever, would like us, then, you know, encourage them to listen to us. We Absolutely. Really appreciate that.
Yep.
But one of the most important things that we do here is that we're building a community of fun, and, you know, we get camaraderie here. We get to interact with you guys. But we also are here for to help each other out, to help ourselves out, to help our families and friends. But you guys are all our creepies and our listeners. We want to make sure you guys have a safe place, too, to come. And so we want to make sure that the mental health aspect is always highlighted. And one way we can do that is giving out the numbers every single time. The Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline is 1-800-662-4357. The last four, and that's HELP. And the National Prevention of Suicide Lifeline and Veterans Crisis Line is 1-800-273-8255. The last four, and that is TALK.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, around this time especially, once Thanksgiving and Christmas hits, it's hard because I remember when my dad passed away, and that was 17 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And, man, that was rough.
God bless his soul.
The first two or three were rough, not just that one.
Oh, I bet. And every year after, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, and I didn't, I mean, my brothers and my sister and the rest of the family and friends, we all dealt with it our own way, you know. But I was, oh, man, I should have gotten help and, you know, so at least, you know, I had friends to talk to, but it can get sad. It can get, you know, when your superhero passes and you're like, uh-oh, now what?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, but whatever. I mean, I had, I've had job problems and back in the day and money problems and all kinds of stuff. And I didn't know, you know, about any of these life, you know, these lines and especially any podcast, you know, to advertise helplines. So.
Someday when this is old age and creeped out, we'll look at that empty chair and say, remember, I miss Todd.
Wait a minute.
That old geezer. I told him he couldn't fly.
Hold on here.
He still decided to jump off that building. No.
Hold on. I'm 50, 90. Now I feel 90.
Hey, a man can dream. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, man. I'm already...
man, he's writing you off already.
I'm picking on your heart already. I'm sorry.
Let me make it to a year. You know?
That's not nice.
I could go another 4 months.
And normally I'm nice. I don't know why I'm not being nice.
You'll just have a picture of me.
Exactly right.
I remember him. Oh, man.
Yeah, wrecking, fracking, son of a monkey.
Those are some of the nicer things I've been called.
Yeah,
no, but it's true.
That's
though,
why
man.
I said them. Yeah, right.
No, but it's true. Around this time, it can get dark and sad and all kinds of different reasons that can creep on you.
In all seriousness, pleasant. We love you. You know that.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. Now you kiss up.
Exactly.
You know, you're not getting a raise.
Darn it.
I'm giving a raise to Nate.
I tried.
Ooh, my zero's going up.
That's
another
right.
Zero.
That's right.
Nothing from nothing leaves
nothing. But the best for old Nate. All right. Let's move on. I'll tell you. Guys. So I have a announcement I'm going to make.
I like announcements.
Yeah, and I like saying this one. Just want to remind everybody that next summer, I think in July, the exact date and the location is still being worked out. We are going to be on the at the live show for Hillbilly Horror Stories, us and the Tragedy of Cinema guys.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting. When Jerry and
awesome,
yeah, invited us. So I know I can't wait because it's 8 months away, but it's not that far away. So.
We've been through a lot of surreal things already this year, and then next year.
Yeah, I know.
I can't even imagine what next year is going to be like.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. So yeah, so I know it's
like a kid in a candy
still
store.
Still sticking with July. We're working on it, trying to find a place, and it is hard because either people don't respond, they don't communicate, and they're not replying, or they don't have the space for a number
have
of people.
What we need, right?
Yeah, it's always been something. I've come up with two or three ideas. I know, you know, Jerry has, Jimbo. So we have one place. We're just trying to figure it out. So because I know Jerry announced on this last episode that three of the four are set, the dates, they've got tickets for sale, and that fourth one is ours that isn't yet. So I'm like, oh, made me sad as I was listening. But anyway, hopefully maybe by next week or two. I don't know. So anyway, that's exciting still, just to think about it. Other than that, I don't have anything.
No other announcements?
No.
Okay.
No,
well, that's the podcast. All right. See you guys.
Yay.
Well, creepies, that was it.
Sure.
That was a quick. That's kind of nice. That's a wrap.
Potty break.
We don't have anything else.
Potty time.
No. I'm going to turn it over back to Mr. Sean.
Oh, should you do that? I don't know.
What are we going to talk about?
Good idea. The topic discussion today is one that I've been looking forward to. I mean, anytime that we can talk about something death related, we are there, right?
It's killer.
It really is. I like that.
Literally.
This is going to be on the bubonic plague, or we're going to also talk and cover the Black Death, which, because it's fun to say all
I think
stuff.
I have that.
Right.
You got that right now? Are you? Yeah, you're covered with that.
They look pretty good, though.
We're going to cover this.
I'm hanging in there.
A little bit of foundation, not the makeup kind, but bubonic plague is one of three types of plague caused by the plague bacterium Yersinia pestis. That sounds fancy, doesn't it?
Oh yeah.
1 to 7 days after exposure to the bacteria, flu-like symptoms develop. These symptoms include fever, headaches, vomiting, as well as swollen and painful lymph nodes occurring in the area closest to where the bacteria entered the skin. Occasionally, the swollen lymph nodes, known as buboes, which is why it's called bubonic, may break open. So that's pretty nasty.
That is gross.
Why is it everything that you get is a flu-like symptom?
Flu-like symptom. Everything.
Yeah. You never know what you have because it's...
It's like COVID.
Well, it's flu-like.
I guess it's the flu. I don't know.
COVID can be that way, too.
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah.
Everything's bubonic plague now, right?
Yeah.
So this is, and we're also, like I said, we want to cover the Black Death, especially because the bubonic plagues have been around since, I don't even know when, BC. So, you know, before the Common Era or BCE or whatever you want to call it. And they think that it originated in China or in Asia, and then it did find its way into Europe. But one of the most destructive bubonic plagues, like I said, there's been kind of swarm after swarm of these bubonic plagues, but they... The worst case was the Black Death. And so the Black Death, also known as the pestilence, the great mortality, or the plague, was a bubonic plague pandemic occurring in Afro-Eurasia from 1346 to 1353. That's the heyday of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is the most fatal pandemic recorded in human history, causing the death of, this is mind-boggling, 75 to 200 million people in Eurasia and North Africa, peaking in Europe from 1347 to 1351. Bubonic plague is caused, again, by the bacterium Yersinia pestis, because I just like to say that. It may also be caused by, oh my gosh, septicemic or pneumonic plagues.
Nice.
So you have an option there.
Sounds like you nailed it.
Yes. But can you imagine 75 million to 200 million? And they said... at that time, the world's population was somewhere like 340 million, something like that. So that's quite a bit. You know, they set up at least a third of the population, mm-hmm. the human population, had been wiped out.
Yeah, it said it. In the 1340s, it had struck China, India, Persia, Syria, and Egypt. So, I know that's wild. What the percentage of what the world's population was? Pretty creepy.
I thought it was interesting that we still have bubonic plague. This is something that kind of to talk about. Not very astounding right now, at least in the U.S. It's only like 7 cases per year, which is kind of interesting that it even still exists, but it does. But it's treated by antibiotics. Jenna said that there was one at IU. She's like, yeah, we had somebody.
Oh, was it really?
Plague that had like traveled outside of the country.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I'm going to admit, I had no idea that it was still active. Until maybe, I'm trying to think, like maybe a couple of months ago.
Yeah. When you caught it?
Yeah, and it was just flu-like symptoms.
I mean,
it was nothing. I was just tired. I did not think that was around. And then when somebody, I don't know who it was, I don't know if it was somebody at work or somebody said, well, I mean, because we were talking about I don't want to get into it, but talking about the COVID, they're like, well, you know, viruses do what they do and diseases and all mm-hmm. that. And they said, I mean, the bubonic plague is still around. And I was like, what? I'm like, are you kidding me? And then I looked it up. I'm like, yes, it is.
Yeah.
So I really did not know until just recently.
And you wouldn't think about it. I've known that only just
ignorant about it.
I would say that I've never seen it in my almost 20 years of being an OT. I've not seen anybody with it, but it can happen. And worldwide, it's 1,000 to 3,000 cases, and mainly on the African continent.
So we're still kind of covering that area. Yeah, and
if you don't treat
just,
it, then you can die from it pretty easily. I mean, I think it's a
30% chance.
Yeah. But it, if you treat it, it's like less than 10% chance.
Yeah. Get you, to it fast. Yeah.
Yeah. So they, I mean, it's pretty survivable.
It's now. Weird like, to think, though.
Medicines have caught up to it. That's why it's not that huge of a thing anymore.
God, but for the longest time.
But it was, isn't it weird though? It's a bit of a problem. Caught it. You'd be like, I have the bubonic plague that was from the 1300s. Yeah,
the bubonic plague.
Get away. Run away.
But I mean, they didn't have the treatment. And medications.
Now, come on. They had plenty of treatments. They just didn't work.
They didn't work. Yeah.
Oh, they said that the doctors, and we'll talk about the doctors here in a little bit because that's going to be a fun little thing to open up. But the plague doctors, even though they tried and they were, and I think their intentions were good, they knew about as much as the people that were infected, is what they said.
Didn't they like bleed people?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One treatment? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That was to level out their humors. So, they had humors that they didn't. Yeah, it was, or they thought that.
But see, I'm surprised because it's nothing to be laughing about.
It's not
about.
Humor. Yeah,
no.
There's no
fun. No.
Why would you want to take the
funniness in that?
Well, it's like hitting your humerus. That's not funny either.
No. It's not a joke either.
I mean, you got to take the humor out of it, right?
Why do they call it the humerus, right?
I know.
We'll do a mini on that.
Because I don't laugh. I say some words, but they ain't. they're not fun.
It's never funny.
Yeah.
So the Black Death was the beginning of the second plague pandemic. The plague created religious, social, and economic upheavals with profound effects on the course of European history. So it is interesting to think about. If you wouldn't have had this, the world would be different as we know it. The origins of the Black Death are disputed. The pandemic originated either in Central Asia or East Asia, but its first definitive appearance was in Crimea in 1347. From Crimea, it was most likely carried by fleas living on the back of rats that traveled on Genoese slave ships, spreading through the Mediterranean basin and reaching Africa, Western Asia, and the rest of Europe via Constantinople, Sicily, and the Italian peninsula. They say that one of the first ports that was the Venetian port that actually they said that it would have been delivered before anybody knew it, and it was too late. Once it started, it would have been too late for everybody.
And you said ships, right? Because I had it. That the main way it came over was by trading ships. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it the rats and the fleas and all that stuff.
The poor rats, they always get blamed. Right?
It's always those vermin.
Those darn rats.
It says there was evidence that once it came ashore, the Black Death was in large part spread by fleas, which caused pneumonic plague. And the person-to-person contact via aerosols, which pneumonic plague enables, thus explaining the very fast inland spread of the epidemic, which was faster than would be expected if the primary vector was rat fleas causing bubonic plague. That's probably a little more than we need to know, but
yeah,
it's interesting, though.
Kind of gross, all of it.
The problem is there was a famine earlier in 1315 to 1317, roughly, in the Middle Ages. And that was estimated to kill 30% to 60% of European population. So they were already hit once with a famine, and then bam, the plague. So it was, I think it would have sucked to have been in the Middle Ages, let's be honest. Early, late, middle, I don't care.
Yeah,
all those ages would have just been no fun.
No. You get something called the Black Plague and the Death Plague and whatever plague, flu-like symptom.
It has plague after it. Probably not good.
No. It's just gross just talking about, you know. But I have been fascinated since I was a kid about it. When you start hearing about it the first time in history or whatever, it's like, oh, not good.
Well, it's just interesting that something like that could wipe out that many people at one time.
Yeah, that's that fast.
Pretty scary.
There's a note I have think, right here. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I think that like nowadays with the COVID and all that kind of stuff, everybody is expecting, I think, something that dramatic.
Yeah, right. And I think, to be honest, I think it got into your psyche like, oh, gosh,
yeah, could this be the next? I think that's why people are freaking out.
Sure, yeah. You know? Yeah, and that's why it's kind of interesting to talk about this because you're looking at, I guarantee these people thought, and there was a lot of people that thought religiously, oh, God's mad at us. This is how, you know, we're being punished for all our sins. And actually that was part of one of the treatments was to eradicate people that were seen as evil. You know, it wasn't, Hitler wasn't the first, and the Germans weren't the first to eradicate Jews. This was also a time where they were like, oh, the Jewish people, they're bad, so we're going to get rid of them. That was one of the ways to try to get rid of bubonic plague. It didn't work.
by the way.
Yeah.
But so there was, I mean, but they got desperate. I mean, it was, it, there was no, it didn't matter how much you made. It didn't matter what class you were. It did not see in all those kind of ways. It was just a disease that was going to take you out. If it got into you, you were most likely going
to
die.
It said people who were perfectly healthy when they went to bed at night could be dead by morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As that, boom, just nailed you.
Roughly in, what they say, 3 to 5, maybe as long as 8 days for you to die, but you were probably going to die, you know. Pretty quickly, and, yeah. and if you didn't die quickly, you were gonna. It was just gonna be horrendous, a horrendous death. Honestly,
sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's. I remember as a kid when I first heard it, I thought they were calling it the bluebonic, not the bluebonic.
It's not the bluebonic.
No, I was like,
the bluebonnet.
Bluebonnet. I gotcha. I'm with you. Yeah. So
the. Do you guys remember? Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna play on words again.
Play on. Hey, play away.
The bluebonnet.
The blue bonnet plague.
Yes. Wow, that was.
I like that plague.
That was ferocious.
Yeah. That makes your belly.
That was the Victorian age.
Yeah, right.
The I don't know if you remember this, but when we talked
blue
about
bonnet ice cream, or no, is that blue?
That's blue bell. Butter. Bluebell.
Blue,
am I saying that wrong? Bluebonnet is the butter, right? Gosh, oh my.
I guess.
Yeah,
and then I think Bluebell
is the ice cream.
It's all good.
We're
all good. Blue.
That's my type of play.
It's good.
Yeah. We are definitely middle-aged. So I don't know if you guys remember when we talked about Vlad the Impaler.
Mm-hmm. Who's that?
Vlad.
I've heard of him.
Dracula. I got the Dracula coming back.
A baseball
out.
Player?
Yeah. He's not. He is not a baseball player, but he does have stats, though.
Oh, that's Vlad Guerrero. Never mind.
He was on episode number 14. Don't ask me how I know that. But he used to use, do you remember when we would, in warfare, he would fling bubonic plague victims over the city walls and infect them.
Chemical warfare.
I totally forgot about that.
The biochemical warfare, or the germ warfare, whatever you want to call it. He wasn't the only one. They said that was one of the things that they were like, it was used for interesting causes, like warfare. And it was like, oh, Vlad the Impaler, you son of a monkey. He totally did that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he did. That's right.
But I wondered if you guys remembered that.
I didn't. Looking this stuff up, I did not remember that. But now that you mention it, I do. So, yeah, that's wild that he would fling people over.
Go get them. One thing that's interesting is they said that when the plague actually, the last main, at least of what we know is these bubonic plagues, the last one to really impact and take out a lot of human life was in 1665, which I thought was interesting. I did not know that. And that's London. And they said that the main way that was eradicated was the fire in London that year. And that killed a lot of, well, it killed people too,
rats.
But it killed rats, which killed the fleas, and that helped to get the disease to die down. So I thought that was interesting. The other, they said, you know, how did this eventually kill, you know, like kill itself out? Like how did it finally go away? But it took, I mean, from the Black Death took that many lives, like so many lives. So the human population was way, way down, right? Mm-hmm. And they said that it would have taken probably, I think it was like 200 years before we could go back to the pre-bubonic or the Black Death era, you know, population levels and continue. And they said, but think about it, 200 years, that seems like a long time to have to bounce back from that many deaths. But if you were surrounded by something like that and they really did have those death carts, you know, bring out your dead, ding, you know, those things. Mm-hmm. They did. They had to have like people just bring out your dead and throw them in pit graves. They still have graves that you can see in Europe that have these bones that are just piles of people, and they were all plague victims. So that to me is kind of crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
But they said, think about it. Like, who's really going to want to reproduce after something like that? It's going to take some generations before you're like,
it's true.
Let's start procreating.
And you don't think about it until you really start looking into the stuff.
You're scared to be around people.
You know, like. So that's something you don't like. These are, when I was looking into this, I'm like, these are some of the things that you just don't think about. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is how did it eventually stop? Well, one way it stopped was, number one, there were people, they do say, you know, people joke about and laugh at, like, oh, you know, I'm immune to COVID because I have such and such a blood type. Well, supposedly that's one of the ways that people were immune to the bubonic plague or could survive it was their blood type. And they did find that is actually correct. So it's like, well, people aren't completely crazy when they talk about that because it is true for the bubonic plague. So they say, you know, that only the strong survive. Well, we are the result of the strongest people, and the people that could survive all those rounds of plagues, we're a result of that.
Yeah.
The future generations will be people that survived other diseases and COVID and things like that, you know, if you really think about it.
Yeah. I mean, they did back
humbling.
Then. They did social distancing, and they, you know, guys that would come in into port says they were held for 30 days, you know, until they showed that they did not have the disease. And yeah, I mean,
that's where the idea of quarantine came in.
Exactly. Yeah, and but then of course, and then they said, yeah, just people would stay in isolation, you know, to slow down the spread.
Mm-hmm. They said the practice of quarantine, as we know it in the Middle Ages, began during the 14th century in an effort to protect coastal cities from plague epidemics. Ships arriving in Venice from infected ports were required to sit at an anchor for 40 days. Originally, it was 30 days, and then they changed it to 40 before landing. This practice, called quarantine, was derived from the Italian word quaranta giorni, which means 40 days.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
So, isn't that crazy?
Oh, yeah, I did, because I, you know, it says ships for 30 days and then later increased to 40 days, or a quarantine, the origin of the term quarantine.
And then we've gotten way too familiar with that word in current months, years, whatever.
Yeah. Man, just, I don't know, it's just weird to think, like, was it, so it's 800 years ago or whatever.
That's a lot.
800 years ago, basically.
Not wild, though. I mean, but truly, blink of an eye kind of thing, you know.
But still, humanity somehow...
I showed that the other, I think I posted it, what was it, the first flight and then the moon landing, you know, and then all, you know, like there's 60 years between those events and it's like, that's crazy. You know, from Leonardo da Vinci to the flight to shuttle.
Oh, your Facebook post.
Yeah. It's amazing how fast we've come quickly, you know, but we did, you know, we were meant to survive, you know, mankind is meant to be here. We are God's divine creation, you know, in my belief system. And by God, we did. We survived a lot. We've survived a lot of stuff, but we've also done a lot of cool stuff too.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Go mankind!
Yay!
Rah rah! Sis,
sometimes
boom,
I don't really want your mankind.
No, I know. And I know.
During the Black Plague, that was the
Black Plague, as they said.
Plague.
That's in the bath. No, that's in the Carl's bathtub. At,
The Black Plague.
I don't even think about.
Sorry, I took that off the rail. Black Plague, go ahead.
Yeah, the plague doctors, they're the one, like, you see pictures of them, like, they had masks on that had, like, the long nose.
Oh, yeah, they look like birds. Those creep me out so much. They're weird.
Yeah, and they have very weird.
You can go to Spirit Halloween and get those masks.
Yeah,
Somebody walked up. We had gotten done trick-or-treating. We got home, and then we always have some stragglers, and I think three or four boys, which was awesome because they – my wife gave out the candy, and they go, cool, Michael Myers. And I was like, and she goes, you hear that, honey? They like your Michael Myers in the bay window. I'm like, yes. But anyway, but one of the boys had that bird-like mask, and it was just so creepy.
And I look at those, and I'm just like, that's not a doctor. How can that be a doctor? But that was the doctors of the time. That's how they
try
to protect themselves from, you know, getting infected.
Yeah, bizarre looking. Very bizarre.
And seriously, if you were visited by a plague doctor, wouldn't you be, especially
scared.
As a child, you'd be like, oh my God. Like,
where's the back door?
I mean, these pictures, these real,
they painted X's on the doors of what was either suspected that there was somebody that had the plague, or if everybody inside, you know, had the plague, they would mark it with an X. And it's like, do not come near this area, this house, this home, whatever.
Yeah.
And gosh, you know, whole villages would just be overcome with it. So this says, the doctor is in. A black robed figure comes through the night, his hat silhouetted by the many bonfires in the city streets. His mask, a parody of a bird's beak, the long wooden stick in his hand, clacks as it strikes the cobblestones at his feet. The doctor has arrived. In trying times such as these, right now, I want us to look at this kind of past. Being a teacher of history and a purveyor of the macabre, I cannot help but to cover the bubonic plague. this says, out of the carnage come these plague doctors, men who sacrificed all to bring aid to those suffering from the disease. Bubonic plague was first discovered, discovered in the Gobi Desert in 1320. And like I said, there's possible records that it went back even, like I said, BC. By 1331, it reached China, probably via the Silk Road. In 1338, it appears in Russia, then India. Plague, though, reaches the main European continent in 1347, and by then, there's no holding back. So, this talks about the plague doctor's uniform changed as time progressed, but the most identifiable one is the costume thought to be invented by Charles de Lorme in 1630. This, though, seems unlikely since the first use was in Italy and was first used in Naples. But like the disease, the fashion spread quickly. The coat was light, waxed to prevent fluids from penetrating it. Mm. He wore a brimmed hat that usually was a symbol of an educated man or physician. The remainder of his outfit was usually trousers made of leather and boots and gloves to match. And, of course, the beaked mask with the glass eye openings. Super creepy, though. Mm-hmm. The beak had two small nostrils in it for air passage, but the beak itself was filled with substances such as ambergris, mint leaves, storax, myrrh, laudanum, rose petals, camphor, which I think of camphor phoenique, right? Cloves, and straw. It was believed at the time that the disease was caused by miasma, which was simply called bad air or night air. It was a theory that the foul odor of rotting organic material, such as human flesh, was causing the sickness. This proto-gas mass was believed to prevent the doctor from getting the plague, which, of course, it did not. The medicine at the time was basic at best, barbaric at worst. There was no concept of germ theory, and the populace didn't realize that hygiene was the best protection against the plague. So that was one thing. People didn't realize, like, keeping yourself clean. Back in the Middle Ages, there was a time where you took one bath a year. That was, yeah, you know, the bathing season where you all cleaned up. Yeah. But it was thought, like, you need to stay dirty. That's what we do. That's kind of how we are. So obviously we figured out that's not true.
Yeah, I showed Nate a picture of that bird looking doctor's outfit. It's
great. It really is. And they said, you were talking about it being a costume, a great costume. Yeah. That a lot of times,
oh, it was very popular this year.
Eras, yeah, after that, and even in the Victorian era, people would go to balls dressed that, mm-hmm, way just, yeah, to be, that's just for that said, creep, yeah, factor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely has the creepy factor.
The doctor's main job was to investigate and determine if the patient was a victim of plague and if anything could be done for them. The stick they carried would be used to help diagnose the patient by examining them without having to touch them. So that's what it's like. Why do they always have this kind of cane or stick? And it's because they're like, well, you have this right here, and that looks like you're going to die, and this over here. You know what I mean?
But I wouldn't touch you with a 10-foot pole.
Or to move them, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, and that's the kind of that idea, right?
Yep.
Common treatments, like Nate was saying, was bloodletting or placing frogs or leeches on the buboes, the swelling masses of the plague victim, in hopes of balancing their humors. Again, not funny. It was also the job of the plague doctor to determine which houses and even which districts needed to be placed in quarantine to help stop the spread of the disease. Usually a crude X, which is what I was just saying, painted on the door, let the populace know that everyone in the house may be infected and none should enter or leave.
Mm. Wow.
But they all, and this says they also did the crude autopsies and kept records of the infection. So to their credit, they said that they did, you know, they really didn't know how to do to fix it, but they would come and say, oh, I have the cure, or try this or try that. And they would charge people quite a bit. And they said that's the first time that doctors really got that, you know, the whole kind of, yeah, they're just in it for the money kind of feeling, mm-hmm, or that they were, you know what I mean? Like, and they started to get rich during these times too.
Can you imagine?
And you could still get, and they still got the plague. You know, it wasn't always that they didn't survive either.
Can you imagine being one of the families with an X on your door?
Oh, your yeah, mother? You're just...
You're stuck in there, and you become possibly the lone survivor, mm-hmm, of the family. I mean, that'd be rough.
Yep, I agree. Did you have something?
All I was going to say was they were saying this was the first time, at least, that it's known that, you know, they were taking medicine on the road. You know, kind of I'll come see you.
Right.
But this says that the services were free, but they said it was not uncommon for them to sell a quote-unquote cure. And that would normally speed up the patient's death. Not intentionally, but oops.
Yeah.
The visit
like
was free.
Like bloodletting.
The visit was free.
The cure is going to cost you your life, right?
I got good news. It's one of those, I got good news and bad news. What's the good news? Well, it's, you know, no, well, the bad news. Yeah, I don't know which is it. Yeah, they didn't know, though. It's like, put you out of your misery. What do you mean? You're going to die.
Yeah.
You won't have it anymore, but you'll die.
You should pay me now.
Yeah,
make sure. Pay me while you're still breathing.
Yeah. I don't know, did you guys look up any, hauntings or any paranormal that came about from the Black Plague?
I saw very vague, like some, especially around some of these pits, you know, where they had the bodies of people that are still, you know, suffering eternally, you know, with the plague and all of its symptoms.
It was saying a lot of places, because of the mass of death and the loss of life, that a lot of places, you know, can be haunted, you know, or said to be haunted, and they think because it's due to the plague, you know, the Black Plague. Here's a quick story I found. It says, there were so many deaths and bodies that people started constructing houses and chapels out of the bleached bones of the victims. One of the most famous of these churches that still stands today is said to be haunted by all the dead from that period. It stands in, I apologize ahead of time if I'm not pronouncing this right, Kutna Hora, in the Czech Republic. And then it said, yeah, the plague cross, which is a loose term, started appearing on all over Eurasia during and after the plague. And then, like you said, John, they were markers or structures, most in the town square, made to pinpoint an infected house. But yeah, said this church in Czech, they say it's supposed to be haunted by all the from the dead, from due to the plague. Yeah. And then they said a lot of places in Europe, they say that's haunted by all the you know, the spirits that people die from this disease.
Right.
I mean, could be. I mean, it makes sense with all the massive loss of life.
I've not been to Europe. I'd love to go, by the way. Anybody want to invite me, please do.
You're just trying to get a free ticket to Turda.
Exactly. Oh, Turda. Well, I'm coming, Turda. But they say, you know, there's so much history, and you can feel, you know, the heaviness sometimes, or just the antique nature over there, you know. But I would think, yeah, all of the wars, and then the pestilence and the disease that have stricken humanity, you know, it is, it's, I don't know how you could get away from it, you know, and I don't know how there couldn't be residual hauntings.
Yeah. They said a lot of ghost ships, they call them now ghost ships, where it said it was very common, and, you know, commoners, merchants, whoever would stumble upon these vessels that were just kind of adrift, and then they'd go on and they'd be empty.
Yeah.
You know, just eerie. Yeah, you know, just nobody's there. Nobody's alive. Anyway,
they all died from the plague.
I know.
Yeah, what awful thing. I mean, because you know they carried it across the oceans, across the seas. You know, absolutely. Like, hey, we're here.
Okay. yeah. Hello.
I guess there's an island over in Italy that like Venice would send all their plague victims to die. It's called a Poveglia. And it's said to be one of the most haunted islands in the world.
That is on my list for
you. Can't imagine why. Is it?
It's awesome. I've seen a couple of videos. Cool. I actually watched a documentary on
that. It actually turned into there's a mental hospital there too.
You can get arrested if you try to.
Yeah, it's vacant now. Yeah.
They won't allow.
No ghost hunting, huh?
Yeah. Nope. Son of a monkey. Nope. But it's really interesting, yeah.
It may be one of the most haunted islands. We just we can't figure that out. Yep. So do you guys know, and you may already know this, but I guarantee there's somebody out there that doesn't know this. My children were surprised to hear that Ring Around the Rosie, Pocket Full of Posies.
Found that out a little few years ago.
Ashes, you, We All Fall Down is based on the bubonic plague.
And that's creepy.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's a child.
You sing that when you're a kid.
A death song.
Yeah.
And the kids, watching.
Wait a minute, I was saying what?
playing on the trampoline, they were doing that over the summer, you know, Ring Around the Rosie. And I sat there and I think, and we did, you know, I try not to tell them like right as they're doing this because this kind of ruins the fun. But eventually it's like, you know what that song's about, right? And they're like, it is?
I know.
That's weird. But
it kind of goes back to where we were talking about the, you know, the kid stories, you know, that we grew up on. And if you really look into it, how violent and creepy and you know, that they really are.
Yeah.
You know, but when you're a kid,
it's interesting because when you break down that song, Ringing Around the Rosie, it's the idea of the bubos, you know, and how they looked on the skin. Pocket Full of Posies, and you're like, okay, that's because posies are for the dead and whatever. But they said the other thing about posies were there was a belief that if you carried around posies and you smelled them when you were around the bubonic plague, that it would keep you from getting the bubonic plague.
Never heard that.
Breathed in or into your system. So that was a misconception, of course.
Gotcha.
But so Pocket Full of Posies was to keep away the bubonic plague, as well as a reference to the dead in the funerals. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down. And actually I think the original, there's different versions of it, but it's We All Fall Down Dead was the original.
Yeah. It's, when you're a kid, you don't.
No.
You're oblivious to all that, and then you find out later on as an adult, and you're like, oh, it's kind of a bummer. But I'm just, as we're talking, I'm just looking at other little stories here, and they just talk about in different areas of the world that were infected, that was infected by this disease, how just, yeah, it's haunted, yeah, churches and the ships and houses and prisons, you know, they just put, yeah, wherever these people were, they just, I mean, they died, you know, and they say it's haunted because of that, you know, and I don't doubt it really, you know, like, or, I mean, it's plausible. So, it's just, yeah, it's, or as I call it, the blue bonnet.
Yeah.
blue bonnet play.
You guys in your, I like it though. I do. I think we should rename it.
And it said that, some of the churches back then, lost, you know, a lot of the people that went to the churches, blamed God and ran away from the church, the church, you know, and then, went on. Yeah. So it's that caused people to run away from religion and, or their faith, you know, and that's sad too.
It says the most authoritative contemporary account is found in the report from the medical faculty in Paris, to Philip the Sixth of France. It blamed the heavens in the form of conjunction of three planets in 1345 that caused a great pestilence in the air. And that's the miasma theory that I talked about. Mm-hmm. Muslim religious scholars taught that the pandemic was a martyrdom and mercy from God, assuring the believer's place in paradise. For non-believers, it was a punishment. Some Muslim doctors cautioned against trying to prevent or treat a disease sent by God. Others adopted preventative measures and treatments for plague used by Europeans. These Muslim doctors also depended on the writings of the ancient Greeks. So it was, can you imagine though, like if you just, I don't know, you were, people, you know, I'm sure there were people like, oh, you know, just let it happen. It's from God. It's okay. But other people are like, I got to get either away from this or got to figure out how to survive this. You
sure.
Know?
Yeah. I want to read this to you guys. This is in London. It says, ghost of Black Death victim, phantom caught on film in tube tunnel near plague pit. So we're talking about those pits.
Mm-hmm.
It says, paranormal, excuse me. Paranormal investigators believe a strange figure caught on camera in a London underground tunnel near an ancient plague burial pit could be the spirit of a victim of the Black Death. The specter was filmed in a tunnel on the Piccadilly line between Knightsbridge and South Kensington, which curves past a mass of skeletons buried in a pit during the 17th century as London was devastated by the bubonic plague. An unnamed passenger filmed the sight in the tunnel from a deserted Knightsbridge station platform. Viewers of the video have said an apparition can be seen that appears to lean over the tracks. They claim they can see a glowing figure appearing to crouch on the track in the tunnel with some, in the tunnel with some, even alleging it then hides behind the barriers. Plague pits actually influence the direction of many London underground tunnels carved out 150 years ago, with lines often having to curve around mass burial grounds such as this one. The ground was often found with interlocking bones. Wow. That 19th century tube tunnelers could not drill through and had to divert the route. That's wild.
That is wild.
Yeah. So it's got a video, and I'll watch that later, but it's creepy how they have so many bones, they have to go around it.
Yeah.
They couldn't drill.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I read a handful of different, haunted
let's hear it.
Areas. They're all little tidbit things. They're all the same thing, you know, that'd be like a mass burial site, and then, you know, people catching like a spirit on their phone or whatever.
Yeah. And just thinking they couldn't drill because, so they had to just kind of go around it.
Yeah.
That's weird. Yeah.
Well, you think about it. It's all over, you know, we're talking Asia and Europe and, you know, on points in between, where there can be activity because there was millions that died, you know, in this time.
Because what'd you say, 75 to 200 million? Was that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that's a ton.
That's a lot of people.
That's scary. And even as early as, I hadn't mentioned this yet, I had it up in my little corner here. It was in 2013. There was a, it was like 100 plus people that were impacted in Madagascar with bubonic plague.
Oh.
I mean, they said there's every once, you know, worldwide, there's 1,000 to 3,000, but it's normally spread out. But there was a cluster of people in Madagascar. So that's like, oh.
Okay.
So it's still rearing its ugly head every once in a while, a little bit.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, yeah, like I said.
Places like that have a hard time getting the proper medical care, too. So
this is true. Yeah, that's right. Well, like I said, in the U.S., it's 7, and they can survive it because of the antibiotics they put them on.
and cleanliness and that kind of stuff, living conditions. That's mm-hmm. probably why in certain areas it shows its nasty face.
Yeah. Yeah, those darn rats and fleas.
Yeah.
Oh, the boogers. Yeah.
You can people would think this is the end of the world. I mean, it's like the song, it's the end of the world as we know it. Although we think that all the time anymore now, right? Every day it's like, yeah, maybe it is. But back then, with all the death and destruction, and Vlad the Impaler throwing, you know, bubonic plague victims over the walls.
You feel helpless.
You're like, hey, is this how this ends?
Yeah. But, I mean, it's a silent killer.
It is a silent killer.
You know, you feel helpless. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, all these people all around you are dying. And
to see the pictures of what it does to you is awful. I mean, it is. Like I said, you say, I die in 3 days. That's not too bad. It's pretty bad. I mean, honestly. I'm sure
it's a rough 3 days.
Endure for
very painful.
8 days, it would be awful. And then just to watch people die and then to know that you might be next or probably most likely are next. And they didn't know, you know, does God hate me too? Am I going to die because God hates me? And it's like, it would be terrifying, honestly.
Yeah. Well, and it changed the way people, you know, believe religion-wise.
Like you said, either push them closer or further away or draw them closer in.
You know, super heavy in your faith and that's what you're relying on. And next thing you know, your entire family's getting wiped out. So then it gets you thinking, you know?
Exactly. Not to get on a tangent, it's like anything. I mean, when I think I posted on Facebook one time, I said, I'm going to talk about my little time period, my three and a half year, oh my gosh, the worst time of my life. And all that stuff I had happened to me, you know, it pushed me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
find my faith, you know, to not just to I believe, but not to, I mean, to really go towards it and then have it a part of my life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it could have pushed me the other way too, you know. Yeah. So I just went the one way I did, so like with this, like you said, you lose the sole survivor of your family. I mean,
all you've been doing is putting your faith into the Lord or whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
I can easily see. I'm not gonna. Yeah,
and then you're like, well, what's this worth? You know, I've lost everyone. Yeah. You know, it gets you thinking.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you got to hold fastly to your faith and trust there's a plan, because there always is.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But this was a bigger than just killing people. I mean, yeah, like I said, it ran people that did survive. It ran them from their faith.
Apocalyptic, right?
Yeah, I mean, but it affected it different. Not just, okay,
antisocial.
Put
strains on socialness.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to be around each other because you don't want to get, you know, catch anything from anybody.
Yeah. And like, and then you say, Sean, like they were using it also, you know, like kind of like today, they use, you know, why they say never let a, what is that saying? Never let a tragedy go. What was
go
that
to
saying?
Waste.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or something like that. Uh-huh. Or, that, yes. You know, yeah. you kind of capitalize on something.
Political maneuvering.
Negative.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, or like even talking about Vlad the Impaler, he used it in warfare.
Exactly.
He's chucking people with the plague over to wipe out the enemy. I never would have thought that.
Yeah. They talk about false flag operations, which those do exist. Those have happened in history. But you don't have to. I mean, there's always going to be something that happens for real, and you can capitalize on it and make it even worse. Or the bubonic plagues came at least in, there's a first, a second, and a third pandemic. So it's kind of interesting that the one that they talk about the first big one was the first recorded epidemic affected the Sasanian Empire and their arch rivals, the Eastern Roman Empire, which is the Byzantine Empire, and was named the Plague of Justinian. This is kind of interesting. After Emperor Justinian I, who was infected but survived through extensive treatment, the pandemic resulted in the deaths of an estimated 25 million, that's 6th century outbreak, to 50 million people, 2 centuries of reoccurrence. The historian Procopius wrote in the volume, the second volume of The History of the Wars, who knew there was such a book, I didn't, of his personal encounter with the plague and the effect it had on the rising empire. In the spring of 542, the plague arrived in Constantinople, working its way from port city to port city and spreading around the Mediterranean Sea, later migrating inland eastward into Asia Minor and west into Greece and Italy. The plague of Justinian is said to have been completed in the middle of the 8th century because the infectious disease spread inland by the transforming or I'm sorry, the transferring of merchandise through Justinian's efforts in acquiring luxurious goods of the time and exporting supplies, his capital became the leading exporter of the bubonic plague. Procopius, in his work Secret History, declared that Justinian was a demon of an emperor who either created the plague himself or was being punished for his sinfulness. So it came down on Justinian's head. And then there was the second pandemic, which is the one that we're talking about with the Black Death, that era. And then the third one was resurfaced in the mid-19th century. So, and that was the two previous had been originated in Eastern Asia and most likely in Yunnan, a province of China. Mm. And the so then they said that the third one, what was it, beginning in 1894, the disease killed 80,000 people by that June. It was basically around Hong Kong.
Oh, okay.
So it killed a bunch of people in 2 months in 1894 in Hong Kong. So it spread. Like I said, the one that I heard was 1665, but this still says it was going on and almost into the 1900s. I mean, isn't that, a couple that's hundred insane.
Years later, yeah.
I'm just glad that we don't have to deal with it now.
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
Not to that caliber.
No. I mean, we still deal with it. Yeah. But we still deal with disease.
But then again, you have a really good chance of surviving it. Mm-hmm. So if you get to it quick enough. Yeah. So yeah, thank goodness for, medications and antibiotics and, we're not living in the 1300s or even almost in the early 1900s. I mean, 100 years ago, you could have gotten in and you're done. It's fascinating. It's a lot more than what you learn as a kid. You just hear about it, but there's so much more to it.
Yeah.
That's the fun part about doing this podcast, because then we get to do research and look into these stories that, we might have heard about it, we might have known about it, but you're not taught really what it, how it affected life.
And even with us, with our platform, we don't dive into it as deep as you can.
Oh, yeah.
Either, but we just sort of hit some hot topics and some interesting points.
Well, I think if you were doing a podcast and you're a doctor, you're in healthcare or a scientist or something, you could look at that from oh my gosh, you could probably just go on and on and on about it.
Yeah.
But, we're talking just about the creepy stuff of it and with some history and some facts, but
the doctors.
Right. Yeah. And the bird doctors.
Even this
is really the creepiest part of this whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is kind of a step away, but we talk about things that kill us through historically. But if you look up what is the worst disease that has killed mankind throughout history,
probably being a Yankees fan. I would imagine
that's actually, that's accurate.
Sorry, New York.
Zach, don't listen to this, but yes,
Zach,
that's exactly when I
like you, buddy. But
when I Googled it, that's what it came up.
No, I did.
It's smallpox.
I will not be.
Which we have a vaccine for, which is great.
Yeah.
That's why it's not as big of a deal now.
Better than large box.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
you know what? And just to tell you and to warn the listeners, I am so darn thirsty. I'm going to pop open my Dr. Pepper.
Pop it open.
Oh, you got it.
That's crisp.
That is crisp.
It's interesting.
That's good stuff there, Nate.
So with smallpox, one of history's deadliest diseases, smallpox is estimated to have killed more than 300 million people since 1900 alone. Since 1900 alone, but a massive global vaccination campaign basically eradicated it by 1977.
Wow.
So it's the first disease to ever be eradicated.
Whoa.
Isn't that awesome? But yeah, but it was the biggest killer.
It's so not actually eradicated. They got it in labs.
Exactly. Well, it and the T-virus, right?
Put on the rat and into zombies. Bring it.
Yeah. Oh, that's for our second discussion on this, right? We'll do that another time, right? We'll go down that rabbit hole.
I had chicken pox, but, wasn't.
Yeah, I did, that. Too, yeah. Remember, yeah, those
that
were the days.
Fun either.
Chicken pox parties?
Yeah, I was part of one of those, actually. Yeah.
What now? What is this?
I have some pox marks in my...
Chicken pox parties?
Yeah. Someone would come you down with chicken pox, so then...
You get them all together.
Get all your friends together, and that way everybody
make sure
get chicken pox
rub
and
up
over
against
it.
Each other, because I have little pox marks in my... I think it's
I
my
do too.
Temple up here.
Oh, yeah.
From it, yeah, still.
I was wondering what
I
that
remember
was.
The day.
Exactly, yeah. Well, now you know.
I remember.
I got them, too.
I'm a picker.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when I had them.
I vaguely remember.
I found out I had them because I was sitting there in the living room, and the top of my head was itching.
Yeah.
Is that where all your hair went?
Yeah.
And having kids.
It was
amen.
A bump, you know, a big blistery type thing. I didn't know, but it was itchy. So I picked at it and it popped.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, Mom, what is this? Yeah. I mean, I was young. I can't even remember. Probably 6, 7 years
old. That's what I was.
So I went in there and she's like, oh, looks like you got chicken pox. And I was like, what?
What in the world?
I never touched a chicken.
I never touched a chicken. Yeah.
No, you pocked him.
So, yeah, I remember that. She's like, hey, you're not going to school today.
Yeah, I was about the same age, 6 or 7. I had him on my back. Excuse me. There was a gargoyle. I had him on my head, too. And I just itched. And I remember laying on the couch and my mom and just she was scratching, you know, just because. Oh, but yeah. Oh, yeah. That and what was the other thing that I got later on? Oh, pink eye. I remember when I got that. I was in middle school and I thought, why is my eye itching? You know, and then my friends were like, your eyes are, you know, just real red. I'm like, what? And then, yeah, you got pink eye. Okay. I missed 3 days. I'm like, yes. Yeah, but when I wake up, they were like literally like glued shut.
Yeah, crusty.
My mom would have to like take a hot warm washcloth and wipe my eyes. And
I may have had pink eye twice.
Yeah, I remember that.
I got it when I was 30 the second time because they say, once you get it, you can't get it again. Oh, yeah, you can't.
Somebody farted in your
pillow. It's a bacterial infection in your
eye. That was a different.
it's a bacterial infection in your eye. I mean, you can get it if you get bacteria in your eye, the right kind.
Mm-hmm. So. Oh, yeah.
That's a whole other discussion.
Yeah.
How did we get on chicken? Oh, I said chicken pox.
I want to know, from all this discussion of death, because that was the original thing we're talking about is the Black Death, right? And how in the world are we here? Like, that's what I want to know. How has mankind survived?
Whoever survives
everything, all of the
everything evolves.
Disease, I know.
And bacteria's evolved, viruses evolved,
sexually transmitted diseases.
We evolved.
Plagues, yeah. Cars, plane. How do we survive all that stuff? Each other, war. You know, it's pretty amazing that we're here. It's a blessing.
I get it.
Honestly, that's what made I kept thinking of when I went through all this stuff. I'm like, it's really cool and fun to talk about, but it gets you back to thinking, well, how the heck did I don't know how I've lived 42 years. I still have no idea.
Yeah,
I am living on a prayer.
You look at that, like how are we still living and stuff? I mean,
let's start singing.
You know, that we have nuclear warheads and that kind of stuff. It's like all they have to do is make one mistake, and I mean, it goes boom, and half of the continent's gone.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. Luckily, it's never happened.
Think of all the mistakes that you see
that we know of.
Yeah, that
we ever watched those. Ever watch those videos on Facebook or YouTube, and they show like some warehouse worker, and he's using a forklift or something and he's trying to and he knocks thousands of boxes over because he made one little mistake or bad judgment. That's what makes me think of that, like, oh man, we could be thinking about nuclear wars or weapons. One mistake could boom. We'll see. You had one job.
Jeez.
Don't tell
so much it. So much for the grandkids.
I always like seeing that there's a video of a shelf stalker.
Uh-huh.
And they're putting doing a wine.
Oh, yeah.
Glass bottle, whatever, trying to get it up there and hit another bottle and crash. Everything comes down.
Yeah. I saw that like at Dick's Sporting Goods. Somebody was doing that. They were putting up
alcohol. They have alcohol at Dick's Sporting Goods?
No.
It's a super secret aisle.
Yeah, but they put the guy was doing, I think, golf clubs.
Oh, man.
Trying to put, and then it tipped, and just all these expensive golf clubs went. I mean, shelves broke down. They're tumbling, you know, and just like, oh my God. And you wonder, like, you order I'll take a regular Coke, and then you go, oh, it's a Diet Coke. See, that simple mistake, if that person was in charge of pressing or not pressing the correct button or not button at all.
Yeah.
They can blow up the world.
Human error, right?
Yeah,
that's the one thing you can't plan for.
That's right.
No, you can't.
So enjoy the day is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And the night, this night.
Not guaranteed, is it?
No, it's not.
I found this very fascinating and enjoyable to research and talk about.
I still love the plague doctor was my favorite.
The plague doctor.
That's my favorite.
Well, yeah, that's
way click, weird. Click,
that's the click, image click, that everybody gets.
Click, click. Oh, yeah. Spooky. Super spooky.
Yeah.
It's my next costume design. It looks so uncomfortable, too.
You're just going to wear it every day?
Maybe. I might.
You're going to wear that to the hospital tomorrow?
That's what I'm going to do the podcast in. Yeah. I would sweat like a demon.
What?
Exactly. How do you give anybody medical advice through that thing? You know, like, what'd you say? You're going to die.
Yeah.
You'll be dead in like
it works wonders for me.
3 to 8 days, you'll be dead. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Checks in the mail. Yeah. Okay. So what we'll do then, I'm getting ready for the middle age moment. And it is, you know, I actually was going to use this during another episode because I really love it, this song. I'm doing songs. I like songs, right? I know if you guys know a little guy named, not little guy, I don't know why I'm saying that, but Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Nine Inch Nails, named that way because those are supposedly how long the nails that went through Christ's hands, as I recall from the band. But they took, so Trent Reznor had this song called Hurt. And great lyrics, but the problem is when I listen to Trent Reznor sing it, you kind of just get lost in the hardness of the music, and you don't really, I'd never listened to the lyrics, honestly.
Oh, he's an amazing lyricist.
Oh, he mm-hmm. is. But sometimes in that, like I said, it's just a bit of, and I like Nine Inch Nails. I'm not against
you. Get wrapped
Nine
up in
Nails,
the sound.
But you get,
instead of
exactly. Yeah, there's this heaviness.
The industrial heavy sound.
So Johnny Cash, before he died, who I love Johnny Cash, who? Man in Black. So this is Man in Black, Black Death, right?
Oh,
see
yeah.
see the connection.
Okay. All right.
But it's also giving some reflection on lives and what life's all about, and kind of, you know, how it, a lot of what we do here is a waste, you know. And I love the lyrics to this. It really makes you think. So Johnny Cash, and I love, you've got to watch, if you've never listened to this song, go out and listen to it. Let's do it with Trent Reznor. It's good too. But listen to it with Johnny Cash and watch the video, because the video, in my opinion, is so emotionally charged, and it takes you through his life. It's just, it's really cool. And then by the end, he's crying as an old man. And it's just really neat to see. And June Carter, she's kind of off to the side, just kind of watching him, you know, and emotional. So the lyrics go, I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting, to try to kill it all away. But I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend. Everyone I know goes away in the end. And you can have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down. I'll make you hurt. I wear this crown of thorns upon my liar's chair, full of broken thoughts I cannot repair. Beneath the stains of time, the feelings disappear. You are someone else. I am still right here. What have I become, my sweetest friend? Everyone I know goes away in the end. And you can have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down. I will make you hurt. If I could start again, a million miles away, I would keep myself. I would find a way. I love it. I do.
Yeah.
And like I said, watching Johnny Cash do it with the way they do the song arrangements, it's a little lighter, but there's mm-hmm. also this intensity and emotional driving force behind it that just gets you to this point where you're like, oh my gosh, that was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Well, his elderly voice mm-hmm. at that
gives
time
it this,
gives it just that...
it's a timeless quality.
Yeah, it gives it that extra punch, mm-hmm. you know.
And I love, like I said, I love Johnny Cash. Yeah. Think the world of him.
It's a Johnny Cash.
Go see his museum and restaurant down in Nashville. I'll tell you, it's awesome down there.
I just watched Walk the Line past weekend.
I've never seen that. Is it good?
Walking
it's
Phoenix.
Because he's a great actor, so yeah. I figured it's pretty good. And I think Amy's seen it.
And when they recorded the music for that, Joaquin Phoenix and Reese Witherspoon sang those parts.
Oh, okay.
Yep, they did. Yeah. They sure
impressive.
Did. Yeah, it's so awesome. But yeah, so I just wanted to share that with everybody. I thought it was a good way to, like I said, I'm not sure that it's a hugely uplifting message, but it's a emotionally mm-hmm. Impactful song and the lyrics. And like I said, if nothing else, what we're talking about, all this death and pestilence and the world changing events and all this kind of stuff, it just should really make us appreciate the moment, you know.
I agree.
I'll be honest. I'm struggling with it every day. There are days where, you know, I've always thought of myself as the helper, the good guy, the positive influence, the cheerleader, whatever I'm supposed to be that day. But there are days where it's like it's hard to find perspective, and you see people melting around you. You feel yourself melting some days. So, but there are days where it's just like, gosh, just you got to shake yourself out of it and think, I'm lucky. I'm lucky to be here. I'm here for a reason. I'm here for a purpose. And that's why I love doing this. I know I say this a lot, but I love doing this because I feel connected to this, to you guys, and to what we're doing here. And it's so awesome when somebody comes up and like, I love what you guys talked about. You know, the listener saying like, Aleister Crowley was my favorite. I'm like, I love that discussion. That's my favorite too.
I don't like what we're doing.
They're all my favorite. So on that note,
what are we doing?
So
we're still talking.
We're turning the circus
where
down.
Where am I?
Turn down the lights. The circus is over.
Nate wants to know where he's at.
dun, 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 dun.
No, I agree. It's, I know it's,
Oh, so we're not canceling. Okay, that's good.
No, it's a week by week.
It's a week. Yeah.
No creepies. We'll let you, I am just
we'll, Sean.
Kidding.
We'll call you. Don't call us.
We trust me. All three of us need it. So,
oh yeah.
No, it's no. I like that. Thank you for sharing that.
No problem.
Middle age moment. Perfect. I think for what we talked about.
Good. Yeah. No problem. I like it when you say perfect. I do. I really do. Like it's my
99.9. But I'll just round up.
My head just grew a size or two.
I can't get through the doorway now, Nate.
I couldn't get through before. Let's be honest. All right. So coming out of the middle age moment, I want to make sure that you guys, we want to make sure that you guys can contact us. We have an email address. Yes, people still use email addresses. It's true.
No way, man.
makeopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's, just so you know. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and we are TikTokers. So yeah, we are cool. We're hip to the jive. Yeah.
Hate to interrupt you.
Yeah.
Not really, but.
No, you don't. You love to interrupt me.
I live for it.
I love to be interrupted.
I write down, I go, okay, interrupt when he says. No, but so we changed our TikTok Tuesday's Terror, or whatever the heck I called it. Because I thought, you know what?
I liked yours. Was really good, by the way.
Since we're going to, thank you. Since we're going to put it on Instagram and Facebook as well. And the only reason that I thought, okay, you know who talked me into it? Our friend Christine.
Oh,
Collier.
Really?
She goes.
I thought you were going to say Amy.
Who? No, nah,
just kidding. Love you.
No, she a couple weeks ago when I mentioned we were going to do that, mm-hmm. she said, "Oh, I'd love to see it too," and I said, "Well, we're trying to drum up more activity and followers on TikTok, so that's why I'm trying to gear up." And I literally was just thinking we ought to just put it on TikTok, and I thought, you know what, that's not cool because she's been a loyal listener and follower on social media, and just like everybody else, I'm like.
Don't punish
kind of
Christine or anybody else, right?
Yeah, no, so I thought, okay.
And you can't make everybody go on TikTok.
Right, and so I thought, okay, we will post it. But then it makes
sense
kind
of kicking and screaming
TikTok
a little bit.
Tuesday's Terror, if you're going to have it on all the platforms or all social media accounts.
I think it was a good call.
So now we're just calling it Middle Age Creeped Out's Tuesday Terror.
Tuesday Terror.
Yeah.
Terror of Tuesday.
But it's fun. It was fun to do.
Eat your tacos and get your terror.
Yeah. But check it out. See if
definitely. It's
yeah,
fun.
Yeah.
Something we're going to keep doing, too.
Every Tuesday.
The other thing I want to let people know is the different ways you can listen to us on podcasts. Now, I could sit here and give you the entire list, and it's a long list. But if there
this would be a four-hour podcast.
And so just sit back, right? Have your coffee. So if there is your favorite, whatever your favorite podcast listening platform, we're on it, I guarantee you. We are on so many. So come out there and find us. So. Find us on the podcast platform that you choose.
You could probably just make up a name.
It's probably a podcast platform. It's probably out there.
Are you guys on the Zubalibadoo?
Yeah, we are. We actually are on Zubalibadoo.
Yeah.
Zubali Zoo. Oh, God.
Zubalibadoo.
There was a show called Zubali Zoo.
I feel like a Zubalibadoo.
You remember that?
The what?
I swear to you, there was a show. I should probably look this up because it's probably sent one of those like things in my head. Zubali Zoo. And it was on PBS, and it's, it's something to look up, but let's do that off air. It is frightening. We talk about creepy here, creepy show.
I'm going to be like Ron Burgundy. I don't believe you.
Zubali Zoo, Zubali Zoo. I can even hear the song, and it's people the characters are dressed up like animals. Super creepy.
You ate a whole wheel of cheese?
Back me.
I'm not even mad.
That's good.
You know I don't speak Spanish.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Anyway, Zubali Zoo, look it up out there. Sorry. That's creepy.
When was this?
I don't remember. I was like, I was a kid.
Oh my gosh.
We'll look it up as soon as we finish recording.
Is it worse than, like, our kids weren't into it, but I remember, this is when I was married previously. We watched my nephew and niece one time. Caroline must have been 4 or 5, and then Kyle was whatever, 10 or 11. and they wanted to watch the Teletubbies, and I'm like,
oh Lord!
I was just gonna say this is
so. Is this something like? Is it?
This is along the Teletubbies, Barney, all those god awful. No offense, god awful shows.
Yeah,
it's in the same vein.
It's bad enough that Livia was into Caillou. I was like. I wanted to stab
I'm sure
my
these
eye out,
these types of shows have reunions somewhere out there. Yeah. Yes, but Zubali Zoo would be out there.
What's it called?
Zubali Zoo. It's just because you said that.
Back
I was like,
my nemesis was Blue's Clues.
Yeah.
I babysat back in high school for a couple neighbor kids.
Yeah.
And that's all they'd watch.
And they play the same episode every day.
Blue was a girl and Magenta was a boy, right? And then that guy just came recently. But what's his name? I can't remember his name.
The old one was Steve.
Steve. Well, isn't he the one that came back on TikTok or whatever? Yeah. And like,
no,
after all these years, like, I never explained why I left. I just left.
It'd be like every day. I miss you. Like, we want to watch Blue's Clues. And it's the same episode as yesterday. We don't care. We won't watch it. And I'm like, oh, Lord.
I will not let
you
go. Yeah.
I have to put Dora out there, too. Dora the Explorer.
I didn't mind Dora. I didn't mind Dora.
It's not bad until you watch it over and over and over again, and then it's just, it's like a psychological warfare.
Was it? Yeah, that didn't bother me. It was Caillou did.
Caillou.
We hated Caillou.
Man, we could talk. Well, let's do a whole entire episode about this.
Crummy kid shows.
I'm gonna have to call that one of those 800 hotlines because now I'm having some trauma from Caillou.
I hurt myself today.
Sorry. We better stop.
Full circle. Yeah, we got to.
It was Zoobly-Zoo. Is that all the announcements?
I think so. I can't be any more tangential. I can't make this thing go on.
Lord help us.
Lord help our coats.
You know what? Let's hand it over to this guy, Nate.
Let's do it.
Please help us.
Well, if you don't want the bubonic plague, I suggest washing your hands. And that's a wrap for this one.
Oh, gosh. See your local plague doctor.
We need something. My goodness sakes. I think we all need to, Anyway. So bubonic plague, episode 38, Creepies. I hope you guys enjoyed that. It was very interesting for us to talk about it. Yeah, it was fun. So all I'm going to say is until next time, Creepies, Nate is your sound engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged
and creeped out. Keep it creepy.